broken iron man courage. Been cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest wood assembly.
Welcome to Harvest Wood Assembly.
Goyi, Mark 16:15, you're familiar with that. It's not just Goyi by force. When you say Goyi, I have an analysis here. I don't know how you want me to interpret it. Go you go, we go. And Matthew 28:19 specifically says, while you go. Okay? Matthew 28:19, 18, 19, 20, which is the Greek Commission text. Not just saying that it is those who are ministers that should go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and Holy Spirit. But it is while you go. He wasn't talking to the apostles alone. He was talking to the Christian generally at that time, that wherever you are, make disciples. He's not asking that you a category of you leave your job and be missionaries, category of you leave your job and be full-time pastors. It is to all of them, not minding their trade, not minding what they do. And that applies to us this morning, because we are expected, everybody should do the going. By implication, all of us are sent. Okay? Today we say we live in a world of not just 200 nations, but we have moved to a category of 400 world-class cities, in the sense that when you enter into a plane today, in 5 hours, you can be in a different continent. And of course, if you look at the online setting, in 1 minute, you can be speaking with somebody in 3 continents away. And so the geographic emphasis of the world is crumbling. And the interactive nature we have is becoming smooth and is becoming limited, is becoming less effective, is becoming less strong with boundaries, in the sense that, and evangelism also is taking that advantage. We're not just saying it's not only commerce, it's not only internet, it's not only relationship that is becoming boundless. Even ministry, even missions is something that cannot be done easily. And so evangelism is a subset of missions. It's no longer only across the ocean or mountains and geographically distant. It is also now across the streets, and it is culturally distant. It's interesting to hear Pastor Chaveda. He was in Bauchi. I had my primary school in Bauchi. And he also have something to do in Ile-Ife, where Zion was giving birth to. We started interacting and we are beginning to see some common things amongst us. Now, if you leave this neighborhood and in 3 minutes you can be entering into a people group that you cannot speak their language in this Lagos. If you move into another direction, in 5 minutes you'll be meeting another community of people whose culture, whose religion is different from yours. That is what we call nations. Before then, in the early days, you have to travel from one geographic location to another before you can enter another nation. Just like you move from a Yoruba nation to an Ijaw nation to a Tiv nation or an Ishakiri nation. Today, within a community, you see people gather together, and that is making evangelism now more realistic, in the sense that we wouldn't just be waiting for a travel, for a mission, but we ourselves can, in our own community, move into different nations. I left this in the slide because it's a challenge, and Pastor confirmed it in our interaction just this morning. This is Lagos 2050. It says, how should Africa's biggest city prepare for doubling in size? United Nations population estimate says Lagos will be 50 billion in 2050. Million, beg your pardon. 50 million in 2050. For most of us, that's just figures. For most of us, just like it's just figures. But in a 3 minute interaction, he mentioned how there's a very beautiful built mosque now by the Dangote refinery in Ibejulekki. And when he looked around, what he's seeing is churches with their signboards almost turning upside down. These guys that are running the refinery have positioned a mosque there that at sight is attractive to enter. But the Christian faith have not thought of what to do about churches there, so that when people begin to move there en masse, they will be attracted to the church. And I mentioned to him that Libya, Gaddafi, had that going on for decades. He leaves Tripoli and he drives across the continent and he's planting mosques, empty mosques across nations, so that when they are finally converted, they will not have an excuse or they will not have a difficulty finding a place to worship. That is planning ahead. I don't have a full definition of your vision and mission, but I understand that you are planning ahead so that when the harvest comes in, you will know how to follow up. You will be there at God's own time, you will to win in the harvest, which we know by God's grace is coming. Which we know by God's grace has given us the anointing to go and harvest. So you not wait behind, like Pastor is saying, all day, and begin to expect that people will find their way into this place. People will stray their way into this place. No, it will not happen that way. We need to plan ahead. This is CNN, this is you, this is a foreign country analyzing for us what will we be doing when we have 50 million people in a city. I don't know what the government is doing about that, but for us as a church, what should we be doing? Like I said earlier, as you go on your daily businesses, make disciples. It's one thing to win souls, it's another thing to make disciples. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, you are winning souls, but discipleship will take a lifetime. So you need to understand the need and the emphasis also of making disciples. Now let's look at what the Bible gives us an insight to about what the purpose of the church is. Why do we have Harvest Word Assembly? Why are we here? What is the purpose of the church? And number one, we see that Christ's purpose, as demonstrated by his life, is to redeem the lost. And we have scriptures here to back up that point. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ was anointed, he was commissioned, and he came so that man will be saved and not be eternally lost. Second purpose of the church described how, as Christ's purpose for his disciples, we are then meant to bear lasting fruit. He has come with the ability to win the souls. He has come with the power to commission us to win the souls, and we are then to bear lasting fruit. And he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's if you follow Jesus. Okay? And the third purpose we have is that Christ's purpose for the church now is to make disciples. Lasting fruit for the individual, making disciples for the corporate church. And then we have what we read in Matthew 28, 18, 19, 20, that when he came unto them, he's saying, all authority. How many authority? All authority. Not most of the powers on earth, but all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And verse 20, lo, I'm with you. I can't hear you. I'm with you always. I don't know what other assurance, I don't know what more guarantee, I don't know what more encouragement we need when the Lord himself says he's with us always. And so when we look at his model, the model of Jesus is to go ye, baptize, and then do what? Teach others to do likewise. Teach others to do likewise. This is like a school on its own. Because when you are able to institute a group of people who will go and baptize and come back and teach, and then they in turn can do likewise, you are helping them to understand what it means to be a ministry. He has referred to greater men of God, men of God in the church that we are aware of, who are into active ministry. And when we have those happening, it's simply because of what they have enshrined in themselves as a mission, as a purpose. When that is not done, the church is limited. When we don't have the passion to reach other people, we only will see our church. I'm going to give you an illustration or a demonstration very soon about what I'm talking about. But then, let's see this little video clip. This is church. This is Harvest Word Assembly. Maybe I should ask you, what percentage does this represent you? You can put on the lights. 50? Less than 50, more than 50? I can't hear you. Did you understand the clip, the shots? Okay, the essence of what we're talking about is multiplication. I will give you a 90 from pastor. Okay, maybe the rest of you are not doing what pastor has been teaching and preaching. Okay, I'll give him 100. I'll give the rest of you 95. Okay, now this is what we are talking about, and this is what you've been doing. I have my friends who are here, and I know how much you are doing. The report is coming in about the Lekki outreach. This is what we are talking about. Now, when you have this mission, when you have this vision, you will do more. You will find lasting fruitfulness in what we are doing. When there's a little mix-up within some quarters. And so we're talking about being on mission with God. Mission is not a program of the church. It's not just another activity. The church itself or herself is a program of God's mission. You need to understand that. And if you catch that, then you are very free. If you catch that, then you're going to be automatically multiplying and bear fruits. If you don't catch that, if you think that it's all about church, you're going to be very static. You're going to be very, like, limited to activities. But then, it's not just that. When we say missions, we're looking at what God has done and is doing to save and transform humanity and all of creation. When we're not talking about missions, we're talking about what we, his followers, are doing to continue that which he started. He has not just come to save the world and disappeared for the rest of the world to save herself, but we as his children are meant to continue this work so that we can be sure of continuity in that which he has started for us. Now, there is these two divides of the church. Some churches are just having a maintenance mentality, while others have a mission orientation. Those who have a maintenance mentality just think about themselves, we in the church, okay? While those who also think about themselves but are mission oriented, they think about others. They have the outward passion to go and reach those who are not saved, okay? Now, those who are the maintenance mentality think about their property, how they can increase. I'm seeing you now moving to your permanent site and having an expansion. All of these pillars will not be there. We're discussing and planning how we can run this, and we're going to be having a big multimedia screen that will make things easier. Okay? That is moving forward. Some people just stop at that. But people like Harvest World Assembly will not just look at property, but you're looking at the people that will be occupying this building, that will be using these tools, these instruments, to advance the work of God. And lastly, they think about our resources. But those who are mission-oriented think about God's resources, and that is when you can get more. And you're not putting all of the money in your pocket or using it for your own personal desires. The two divide also continues by saying that some, they call themselves the come-to-churches. In the evangelism they do, it's all about come to our church. They go out for evangelism, and they're only distributing flyers to invite them to a church program. Not about the soul of the person they are contacting. That is a come-to-church mentality. But those who have a go-ye mentality, they are able to reach people, not just for the program that they're going to invite them for, but also for the sake of their souls. They focus on the found, while go-ye focus on the lost also. And then the come-to-churches members are busy doing activities in the church, like you saw in the video clip. But the go-ye churches not just do activities in the church, they also mobilize their members to do evangelism and missions. This chart is representing a regular church where you have the different departments as listed on the screen. Okay? But the next slide gives us what a go-ye church will look like. And from every department, they are active. Evangelism is a priority of Harvest Word Assembly. And so even if you are in children's department, you are in the choir, you are in youth, you are in whatever department you are expected to what? Reproduce. You are expected to reach other people. You are expected to speak the word to your neighbor. You are expected to go and say something to somebody else, and that is what grooms and grows a church. Why are we doing this? I've given you enough background to understand my emphasis. Why are we doing this? Scripture itself gives us that backing in Ezekiel 22:30 that, and I sought for a man among them that will make up the hedge. Who was speaking? And to Ezekiel. And stand in the gap before me so that I will not destroy the land. Unfortunately, at that time, God says what? I found none. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. As much as we are alive, when God make a call, may we be able to hear and respond in Jesus' name. That is all of what we are doing this morning. Okay? Can God use you? can God count on you? Are you sure you are available to be used of God? How much of your time can God use in the work of the gospel that He is preparing you to? Jeremiah 20 verse 9. If I say I will not mention him or speak anymore in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with holding it. Indeed, King James says, I cannot hold it, because that anointing, that oil of God, that passion, his presence is in you, bubbling, and want to spill over to somebody else. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 16 says, if I preach the gospel that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me, woe to me if I do not preach this gospel. Apostle Paul giving his own version of his own passion. Beyond these scriptures, we see people who are in their own time, early Christians, who also give very systematic revelation of what God is preparing them to do, and they give a summary of what their ministry and their mission was at that time. But Wesley Duell says that we cannot light this fire in ourselves. We cannot produce it. No man can kindle in himself that celestial fire. It must come from where? The coal from the altar above. A blaze for God is a devotional that is very powerful, that some of us have used before now. John Wesley, in his own statement, says, let us all be of one business. Which business? Winning souls. John Knox says, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. That will be was the prayer of somebody who was a great evangelist in his own time. Okay? David Brainerd said, I care not but how I lived or what hardship I went through so that I could but just gain souls for Christ. This reminds me of Moses. Moses was willing to die for the Israelites' error just for them to live, but he can be consumed because of their own error. And this is somebody who don't care how he lives, but then he wants souls to be won to the Lord. Okay, we have two more there. George Whitefield. George Whitefield said that, oh Lord, give me souls or take my souls. Another Moses model. Give me souls or take my soul. That is the height of desperation anybody can get to. William Booth, founder of Salvation Army, says that, sir, some men's passion is for gold, other men's passion is for fame, but my passion is for souls. And so what is your passion? What is your passion? What is your passion? You have an answer to that? Ask yourself, what is my passion? I can't hear you. Ask yourself, what is my passion? Do you actually have a passion? Have you defined your mission? Okay, the Lord indeed needs you, because this time we are in is more confused than before. This time we're in is more unprepared for the Lord than even when we have more heathens in the land. The generation before us today needs all of the help she can get to be able to focus and know what God is saying. The Lord needs you. For of course, the Lord himself says in Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30 that the fruit of the righteous is like a tree of life, and they that win souls are the wise ones. Okay? But you receive power, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you be my witnesses where? Let's apply that to our context. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and be my witnesses where? You don't want to leave Nigeria. You don't want to get to Africa or to Europe. Hallelujah. Now that is the picture of what we have before us. Okay? And this says that, for so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That is your commission. That is your power. That is your portion. 1 Corinthians 16:24 says that, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works amongst all the people. Okay? Isaiah 52 verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who what? Who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, and who say, And who said to, beg your pardon, and who says to Zion, your God reigns. This is further emphasized in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. Okay? Skipping verse 10, 11, 12, and how they are they to preach unless they are sent. Maybe we should read it from the beginning so that I can put it into the picture I'm trying to paint. Okay? And it says that, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe on him on whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching to them? How are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So, all of what we are saying here involves you. As we look at the unbeliever coming to the church, the Bible says that there's a requirement for you and I to go out there and do the preaching so that we can be sure of how they can be heard, they can be reached, and they can be brought into the kingdom. And preaching the gospel, like Pastor has said, is very simple. It's not a do or die affair. It's something that is, if you take it in like a way of life, becomes an everyday thing. And the next slide gives us what we call the motto of witnessing. It says success in witnessing is simply taking the initiative to share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. There's actually a newer version that says expecting the results from God. To be successful in your witnessing experience is to simply take the initiative to go out and do what? Share Christ. How? Empower the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. Don't be bothered by what they say or how they respond. So let's please read that together. I want to go. Success. Let's take it one more time. Let's take our eyes off the screen and recite it. Success in witnessing is simply taking the initiative. Wait, one more time. Success in witnessing. I think you are reading it from my face. Let's close our eyes and recite it. Success in witnessing. Hallelujah. And over the years, we are just 21 years in missions, and our organization is entering its 65th year globally. We are 52 years in Nigeria. This has worked for us. This has been proven to be very correct. And so I want to encourage you to believe in this. Take note of it and work with it, and you see it work for you in Jesus' name. Now let's move on to the part of how to share the gospel. Okay, and we're going to be using the four spiritual laws as a demonstration. I'm sure you have a copy by now. In the next couple of minutes, I'll just take you through how you can present the gospel in a very simplistic and logical way. The gospel presentation mostly contains four parts: the love of God, the fall of man, the need for Christ, and then how you can receive Christ. If you have that at the back of your mind, you have done a good job. Okay? And using this booklet, which you don't need to carry everywhere, it's a booklet that is self-introductory as a tool. Just simply ask them, have you heard about the four spiritual laws? Most times they will say no, because the number of people on earth are increasing by the day. Okay? And you begin to read. I would have loved to do a demo, but I don't have the luxury of the time. I begin to read as you enter into law 1, which is on page 2. That just like there are physical laws that govern the physical universe, so there are spiritual laws which also govern your relationship with God. That is true. That's not a spiritual statement. That is logic, and that's a fact. When you present that to anybody, no matter how biased he is about religion, he will want to listen to you because you have not said anything wrong or anything contrary to the facts. And then you move on to law 1. What is law 1? Let's go. And that's the fact. God loves everybody and offers a wonderful plan for their life. We'll talk about John 3:16 as we mentioned God's love. Okay, we'll talk about God's plans. Look at John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Another beautiful promise. But he says that what is that most people are not experiencing the abundant life is simply because of what Lord 2 tells us. And Lord 2 says that and that's another fact. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 gives us that emphasis. Okay? You explain all of what man's fault is, all of what man's failure are, all of how it is that man is not doing enough. No matter how righteous appearing the man is looking or the woman is looking, there's still a deficiency in man. And that is making man to be separated from God, because the wages of sin is death. And death means spiritual separation, not physical separation and falling down kind of and dying. And after that is established, you look at Lord 3, which says, that is the only way man can reach Jesus Christ. The only way man can reach God is through Jesus Christ. It is because he died for us and he loved us, and it's only through him that we can know and experience God's love and forgiveness. That is how we have it in our notes. See that in our place, this is emphasized by Romans chapter 5 verse 8, that he demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we are yet sinners, he has died ahead for us to perfect our salvation. He didn't die and remain dead. He rose from the dead because he also presented himself alive, and after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God that is to come. Okay? There's emphasis in John 14:6 that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. But then, there's a bridge that separates man from God. Okay? And Jesus Christ was sent as the link bridge to be able to connect man from God. Sorry, I meant that there's a gulf that separates man from God. And Jesus Christ is the bridge that links man to God. You only need to access that bridge. There was this picture of people carrying a cross. It was like a cartoon kind of a thing with 10, 12 pictures. They were carrying their crosses. I saw it on animated, right? I think last week. They were carrying their crosses and they were on a journey. This guy wasn't able to make it and he went and cut his cross twice or thrice to reduce the length of the cross, which ended up reducing the weight. And they got to a gulf. They needed to cross and they were able to use their cross as a bridge. By the time others had put their cross, which was long enough to cross, he got there and his own cross was too short to form a bridge for him and he was stuck. And that's how it is in real life. Some people take the shortcut thinking that it's an easy way to live their life. At the end of the day, it's a shortcut to damnation. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. So God has bridged the gulf which separates us from him by sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins. It's not enough not just to know all these three laws. The last law, law 4, says that what? It's a condition. That's why it says we must. Individually in this case. Not corporately. Not as a family. But as many as received him, John 1:12, he has given the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name. You go on to explain how it is that it is by grace that we have been saved. Not by reputation. Not by your wealth. Not by your exposure. Not by anything. But just by the grace of God. And then in John 3:1-8, it says that when we receive Christ, we experience a new birth. Okay? And lastly, in that part, we receive Christ by a personal invitation. Revelation 3:20 says that I stand where? At the door of your heart, and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. That's an established process of how to begin a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to agree intellectually that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is not enough. You have to make a personal conviction, a personal distinction by accepting him as your Lord and Savior. Then on page 10 of your booklet, let's open it so that you are familiar with it. On page 10 of the booklet in your hands, there are two circles that represent two kinds of lives as displayed on the screen. the circle on the left is self-directed life or the self-centered life. This person is controlling his own life. Christ is still outside of the life. Different areas of his life are under his control, resulting in lack of peace with God. While the circle on the right is the Christ-controlled life. This person is in control of... Christ is in control of his life. This person allows Christ to control every area of his life, resulting in peace with God. People cannot be in the middle. Even some people claim to be in the middle. But then, within these two circles, let me just ask you, all heads bowed, as you go before the Lord, which of these two circles is like your life? We're reflecting. It's a minute in a sermon. So let's reflect. Which of these two circles is like your life? Are you in control of your life? Or the Holy Spirit is in control of your life? Which of these circles do you think God will want you to be? If you want to be on the right circle, all you need to do is say the prayer after me. And that's found on page 11. And it says, Lord Jesus, I admit I've been running my own life and I've sinned against you. Come into my life and forgive my sins. Take control of my life and make me a new person. Thank you for answering my prayer. Amen. I'll say it again if you want to say that prayer. Maybe you have never at any point in time asked Jesus Christ to come into your life on your own. It says after me that, Lord Jesus, I admit I've been running my own life and I've sinned against you. Come into my life, forgive my sins, take control of my life, and make me a new person. Thank you for answering my prayer. Amen. And amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just like I might have led you to the Lord, this is how simple it is to lead any other unbeliever. Any other person, rather, any other person who is an unbeliever into the faith. Just by helping them to understand that God loves them and offers a wonderful plan for their lives, but man is sinful and separated from God, therefore, he cannot know and experience God's love and plan for his life. But the only way man can reach God is through Jesus Christ. He died for us. Through him, we can know and experience God's love and plan for his life. These four very simple steps helps you as a Christian to witness to anybody. Let me fast track this part and go to the concluding or the second part of my message, the concluding part of my message. Now, how to go ye in the power of the Holy Spirit? Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. Can somebody please open his or her Bible and read for me Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 by way of emphasis? It's a passage that gives us an insight as to our position and our roles in witnessing. Anybody?
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Thank you, sir. It is not by your works. It's not by your experience. For instance, with all of the testimony he has shared this morning, it's not because he has been doing it for decades that he said the next person I'm going to meet must give his life to Christ. Once Pastor Shafek gets to that level, then he has missed something. The very next time he's going to go out there to share his faith, he's going to be going out there in the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that convicts people. When we leave our comfort zone and we travel for our missions, wherever we are going to, we're not going to say, okay, we're going to come back with 300 souls. Okay, we prepare to win 500 souls. But then, as much as when we speak, it is the Lord that will give the results back. That's why we say success in witnessing is simply taking the initiative to share Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. You don't calculate and say, this guy has been a sinner for 3 years in the office, he's been involved in 10 embezzlement schemes, he's been married to four wives, you don't say, okay, today he must give his life to Christ. You have gone too far. But it is the Holy Spirit that can help us to win souls. One, before you can be successful in soul winning, you have to be sure that you are a Christian. We just went through that process together, right? Okay, number two, be sure that there is no unconfessed sin in your life. I won't read these passages because of time, okay? That one is simple. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says what? If you confess, what will God do? He's faithful and just to cleanse you from how many sins? And how many unrighteousness? That is very ready. God is very ready to get that done for us. Number three, be sure that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure that's not new in this church. Okay? Be sure you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Be sure you're asking, I release myself, I submit myself, come and do the work yourself. And the fourth thing to do as you go is be prepared to share your faith in Christ. Okay? Prepare to share your faith in Christ. Your mindset is the key. The materials are strategic. Make your plans. They are important. And of course, take your every opportunity that comes your way, because don't wait for a coincidence or when someone will come and sit in front of you and say, I'm an unbeliever. Please preach to me. That may never come. So take the initiative and you see God opening doors for you in Jesus' name. Number five is to do what? Pray. God is not willing that any should perish. So when you pray, He Himself will honor His word, because He has set the stage, He has set the tone for you to go. And when you go, what? Do not wait for men to come to you. Go. Jesus Christ is already going ahead. I like the illustration with my brother Kenny that he did. Okay, God has prepared those who will win the God, who will be won to Him. Actually, it's very scary that He knows those who will be saved. He knows those who will be damned. If then He knows, why are we wasting our time? Somebody have asked one time. But it's now for us as agents of transformation to go out there and fish out those that God have destined will be saved, so that they will not also be lost. Only the hard-hearted will be lost. But those who are willing will find what? Salvation. Talking about witnessing the power of the Holy Spirit, when you go, He says, talk about Jesus. Don't go arguing. Don't go talk about dress code in the church. Don't talk about what to wear to church. Don't talk about church doctrines. Talk about Jesus. When that is established, you can then understand what and what you need to do. When you talk about Jesus, expect results. Expect results. When you talk about Jesus, expect results. And that will give us insight in Jesus' name. We can't be prepared to go to our community to witness if we don't consider the virtual world. I brought her in at last minute, and I think I will not. It will not be well for me to close for sake of time and not mention this. The virtual world today has become sometimes more realistic to some than even the physical world. The number of times some of us spend meeting people today online is almost becoming more than we spend meeting people on land. Or on site, which was the opposite of online. Offline. So, how are you prepared to reach the virtual community? Harvest Word Assembly. Have you begun to engage people online? It's not too early if you have not started to begin to look at that, because after the lockdown, we are beginning to come out of our shells. There is more activity now offsite, praise God. But then there was a time where everybody was online, and there's still going to be more traffic online. So how are we ready to engage people online? I don't know if you have seen this in recent times. For every 1 minute, how many Facebook? How many IG? How many tweets? How many WhatsApping? Again, for some of us, this is just figures. But these are facts. The day I was told, after a training in Kenya, that they can analyze our website and tell us the type of device or phone that, thank you for nodding your head, that went online. They actually send us the statistics now monthly. They tell us how many minutes the Samsung 4, whatever it is, for Note 4, spent on the site. I was shaking. They're not just telling how many people are logged on. They can tell you the device. The location is not even a problem now. They can tell you how many minutes, how many seconds you spent on that. They tell you what you were doing. I have another analysis that says what Nigerians do online. Do you want me to tell you what Nigerians do online? Please tell me not to tell you. Let's look at another one. This is more recent. For every 1 minute in 2020, $1 million is spent every 1 minute. When you look at the Amazon transaction, you agree that $1 million is spent every 1 minute. 6,000 shipments. Amazon alone, not other online stores. Amazon alone. LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. When I go to YouTube and Netflix, I say, God have mercy upon us. Even though we have our own contributions there too. Okay? But the majority there are un-Christian. And people sit down there and they are consuming these things. And there's no space again for God. Now this is what is happening online. If you have this happening online, what is your contribution to this online space? How much of this are you consuming? How much of this are you responsible to? The digital strategy ministry is something that is also giving us very strong access to soul winning and to reaching people in the faith. I'll just brush through, like I said, I combine many things to give you an insight so that you can go ye, not just one-on-one in this case, but again, we have a very strong active presence. I'm going to leave the slides with you so you can copy and share as much as you can. I'm seeing some people trying to do one or two things. Our Jesus team tool, if we were doing a training, I would have demonstrated this. Okay, I could send the baptism of Jesus Christ, which is like 4 minutes duration, to your phone through any of the sending means. And when it comes to you, you say, please, can you watch this clip? The link is there. When you click, it takes you on site, you watch it, and tell me what you think about it. That's a very simple, beautiful way to challenge somebody to consider praying, consider giving, consider salvation, consider anything you want to do or challenge him for about the life of Jesus Christ done in the book of Luke. So this app is very simple and very powerful, and that's the power of short films. Then we have the film in 1,800 languages. We have it in 1,500 Nigerian languages and globally, 150 Nigerian languages and globally 1,800 languages. So you can send that to anybody anywhere in the world, anybody anywhere in Nigeria, and you are challenging somebody to consider a particular spiritual interest that you want the person to take note of. Okay? And sure, we have ministry from a distance resources. There's a lot of materials on this site that you can access to share and help people to be able to reach a point of decision for Jesus Christ or to grow in their faith. Digital outreach materials, evangelism from a distance, tools for evangelism at a distance, and the like, they're all on that side. And that side is the God's Tool app. There are many other things in here that can help in your evangelism and discipleship processes. Sure, we have the social media training that, again, comprises of the many things you can do to engage people on Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram, on WhatsApp. You can use any of these strategies, and they are formatted to help you to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jesus Film Project actually is an app. You can download that easily on Google Play Store for your convenience and use at any time you want to get that done. Let me skip this. It's still on Jesus Christ, the Jesus Film. Now, so how to witness in the power of the Holy Spirit? We shared it earlier. As I take this in summary, as we close, the very first thing we say is to what? Be sure that you are a... When you are sure that you are a Christian, what's the next thing? When you are sure there is no confessing in your life? I can't hear everybody. Again? When you are sure you are filled with the Holy Spirit? When you are prepared to share your faith? When you pray? When you go? When you talk about Jesus? And when you expect results? Give glory to God. Okay, now there's a small project that we have for us. We have some sheets of paper that will be circulated. Just give one person one copy. Thank you. It's very tiny. I'm not sure you can read that. But then, did I give it a name? Go Ye Assignment. I should have consulted with Pastor Shafel before I give it a title. Okay, Go Ye Assignment. We're going to be going out and you will use these three formats: pray, care, share. Pray, care, share, to engage people. First, list names of people that you think you can pray for that needs your prayer. This is the initial phase of contact with particular individuals or groups of people, wherever it is that they are. Action you can take here to pray is ask God to help you to meet these people, no matter their number. Then text them, send them a note, tell them you can pray, ask them for a prayer point, and then practically do pray for them. When you pray for them after a while and God is answering their prayers, or you want to get a confirmation of what God is doing for them, show care. That is, after praying for them in your relational network, in the second step of the process, you should learn more about them, ask after them, ask after their education, ask after their children, ask after their work, ask after their interests, ask after their health. Okay? After you are caring, when you continue to show care for them, at the very right opportunity, share the gospel. That is, in continuing the ministry of praying for people and caring for them by showing acts of kindness, you share your personal story of salvation, or you share your testimony of how God has helped you to start your business, to groom your children, to go to school, whatever it is that you think he or she is struggling with. When you share your own experience, you are giving them that reference point of how God in turn can help them. It's a very simple way to go ye. It's a very simple process to learn to engage people. And I'm sure as we go ye, God will help us in Jesus' name.